We're going to go into this today. We're going to turn to Mark, the fourth chapter. We're going to look at, really, it's the parable of all parables. And we want to look at this because, you know, the series of teaching is not on dealing with knowledge that overcomes. And I want to tell you, if you do not understand this, you will not. Now, understand, this thing here is what we're dealing with, this parable. People teach a lot of things about it, but let me just say this to going into this parable. This parable is about faith. That's what it is. When people teach this parable, they ought to explain the fact we're teaching about faith. This is about faith, how faith works. And understand, in the kingdom, you can't please God without faith. We need to understand, the things that we as Christians, that we want to believe and bring to pass, they must follow the pattern of, they follow the pattern of this. What Jesus tells us, and we're going to look at this parable, will tell you why it's working or it isn't. It'll let you know. And so we need to understand this. People always put at the end, but we need to, the fact, 30, 60, 100 fold, but we need to understand this. A lot of people along the way, even as Christians, never make it to 30, 60, 100 fold. They never make it there. Kenneth Hagin said this, and I was listening to him as one of the things that he was talked about at the minister's conference, and he said this. He said in Crusades, he made mention about this parable, and he said, it's four classes here, and he said it's only about in a crusade, he said, that they'll, like dealing, and they've deal specifically with dealing areas of healing, and healing alone. He said only about a quarter of the people who come up to be healed will get healed. He said only about a quarter of them do. And I see a lot of people don't like that. A lot of faith people, he just don't have faith. You need to understand, I don't care how much faith you have, other people don't have to respond to you. And they don't have to respond to your faith, and God won't force them to. You need to understand, people have free will. God won't override it. You know, I remember coming into the kingdom and these ministers were teaching, if you have a mate that isn't saved, if you pray for them, they will get saved. Paul didn't believe that. Read what Paul said about it. Paul said, don't think just because you're going to do it. He said, God can't override another person's will. There's one thing God will do, and he taught me this. If I pray for an individual and ask the Holy Ghost to draw them, he will. But they may not respond to it. They may not respond. The Lord's told me over the years, certain people I prayed for, they would respond. He said, I've moved on and moved. They won't respond. See, God won't do that. In other words, he didn't force, people are like, well, God made me do this or that. God didn't make you do nothing. You had to respond by your will. We want to look at this because we find out the importance of this. It'll help you. And in some of those things that as I was meditating on this and I was reading over this thing while I was down at the beach and I was reading over this, I found there are just certain things the Lord just really brought out to me about this. Understand, this is not the whole, this parable in itself is not the whole thing about faith. There's other things you need to understand about faith. This gives you a general synopsis of what goes on, but by this principle, everything in the kingdom works. It's by this principle, everything works. And you need to understand that. If you're going to be a spiritual person, you must understand and cooperate with this principle of this kingdom, the kingdom principle. You have to do it. And in other words, if you don't respond from this, there's a lot of things God will never reveal to you. It's not because he don't want to. He couldn't reveal it to you if he wanted to. He can't do it. Because this is how it works. And get this in yourself. I don't care what other people preach and say. Jesus is right, and if they say anything different, they're wrong. Jesus is right. And I found this out. If you follow this principle, and I've looked at people like, Charles Capps was excellent at following this principle. He was really good at it. He followed this principle. And his success, he was phenomenal. On the areas of speaking and bringing things to pass, he was good at it. I mean, he was a champion. He got the first place trophy. He was good at it. But you can too. There isn't only one first place trophy. You can get one too if you want it. But you're going to have to follow this principle. I mean, there's no other way to do it. And so we want to look at this. First of all, Jesus had told, we're not going to read the parable, but we're going to read the explanation of it. We don't have time to go through it all. But really, if you read the explanation of it, you get what the parable was about. But in verse 4, it says that, excuse me, in verse 9, it says this, "And he said to them, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear." Now, first of all, if you have ear to hear, are you really listening? Are you really? Now, understand, God don't determine if you have an ear to hear. You do. You determine if you're going to really listen. You know, over the years, I've had this with people, you know, I've had people say this, tell other people, "Well, you know that stuff Ed preaches, it's all right, it's for him, but that ain't for everybody." I know this, when they come and they would sit in church, they had no ear to hear. They had no ear to hear. I don't care how much you sit under. I've been around people who have sat under wonderful teachings for decades and don't get stuff. They never have ears to hear. They think they know something. They don't realize what they don't know. And, you know, naturally it's like that. Aren't there people go to school and sit in the same class and one, you know, and some of them, you know, they get a thing. They don't listen. It ain't because they weren't told. They ain't paying attention. So, having an ear to hear. Well, he said, "Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear." I have ears to hear. So I'm on here. And he said, "But when he was alone, he said, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable." So they didn't understand. Now here's a person, people with ears to hear. Are you like this? Or if you don't understand, do you go away complaining? Do you go away? How do you go away? Do you go or say, "I got to find out what that means. I don't understand." If you don't, you're a problem. Now I'm not saying it's be dead. You're a problem. You need to understand, it requires you to gain knowledge to walk in the truth.
That's right.
And if you don't understand it, and I found this over the years, many times in teaching, numbers of people don't get it, but never respond to find out to get it. They don't get it, but they never respond to find out. See, we need to pay attention. This is Jesus talking. And you need to take this very seriously. They didn't know, and he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." Why? Because they stopped to ask about it. Now remember, this is a whole multitude he's talking to. What percentage got it? I tell you this, not even a quarter, probably not 10%, probably not 5%, probably less than 1% got the answer to it. Why? Because they decided to find out. You know, "I got to get home. You know, I got stuff to do. Don't you know?"
Yes.
You know? Yeah. I remember one time in a meeting with Ken Copeland. It was interesting because he got done ministering to people healing. When he started to do that, all these people started getting up to leave and go. And one, he just called them out. He said, "We're ministering here to people and you don't even care enough." He said, "You got to get home. That's what's important to you." Well, he embarrassed them all. I thought that was the most wonderful thing that happened. I thought,
"Amen.
Call them suckers out. And if you got to go home, then don't even bother coming."
Amen.
Preach. If you ain't got time to wait on God, stay home.
Amen.
If it don't matter to you about the next person, you see, there's a move of the Spirit going on and they don't realize when they start doing that, it starts messing things up in the spirit realm. Because, see, they're no longer attached. We just turn off and just... It's amazing how people can stay up all night for all kinds of other stuff.
Amen.
But we got to get home to work when it's a church service. I got to get sleep for work. Well, I can stay up for all kinds of other things. My God, can I preach? I'll tell you, I just... Well, it is. I watch people do it. They can stay up for everything. So I got to get home to sleep. If you can't go one night without a lot of sleep, I'm going to tell you what. We need to bury you. You ain't worth living around. You can't get pie one day. "Oh, I need 8 hours every night." Yeah, it's because you're full of the flesh. That's why. Your flesh dominates you and rules you. Your confession is exactly what you have. And you ain't going no further in life talking stupid.
Yep. Amen.
You're stuck with it. That's your faith talking.
Yep.
I can go for days without sleep. I can do it. Don't bother me. Hallelujah. I got more working in me than my flesh. I mean, I still do it my age. So don't tell me you're some young person and how much you need. Well, you need to cast the devil out of you, get God into you. That'll change some things. Because we have today, we have such a wimpy society of what they need. You know, it's a funny thing. When I was a kid and went to church, they'd have these revivals. And in these revivals, church didn't start till 7:30.
Yep.
And they had these revivals. They'd run to 10 o'clock. The farmers, all the farmers. Those guys get up and milk cows. And they'd be at every one of those meetings and stay at them. They'd go for weeks on end and just attend that revival. They wonder why they had moves of God, and you can't have one today with the people the way they are.
Right.
It can't come.
Right.
God will move among the sinners, but He ain't moving a bunch of backslidden saints.
Preach.
He ain't moving among them.
Preach.
When everything else is more important.
That's right.
Why we want the world to come when we don't want to stay?
Right.
My God. Didn't know we were going there. Anyhow, he said, so that, what's this is the purpose of our money? He said, but to those who are outside, he said, all things come in parables. In other words, they come in things that don't have the answer to it. You're going to, really, parables will leave you with questions. You're going to have to seek answers. This is the way the kingdom of God works. If you're not a seeker, you don't find. Only seekers find. They're the only group that finds, the seeker. See, we need to understand. If we were in an educational system, we could run one today a lot cheaper. You wouldn't have so many students. We're trying to educate a society today that doesn't want to learn. They're not seeking. And so we need to understand this, if you'll see. He said, what's his purpose? He said, so seeing they may not see and not perceive. Why? I tell them in parables. Why? They ain't interested anyhow. I'm speaking in riddles to these groups. See, there's an attitude that everybody has to have to get something.
Amen.
It's a required with God. You see, I asked years ago when I first got saved, I'd get revelation. I'd sit down the scripture and get revelation would just come to me and things. I said, the Lord one day, the young Christian said, Lord, why do you reveal so much to me? Why do you do it? He said, because when you get it, you'll give it away. See, most people are doing nothing. They're nothing but collectors of knowledge. They don't do anything with it. See, we think today, you know, see, you get a diploma. You can get a diploma today to hang on a wall. And you might, all you got's knowledge. You ain't ever done nothing with it. You're doing nothing, just full of knowledge. We're going to find out when it comes time to do something whether you got anything. And we found out today, most of them ain't got nothing. All they got's a diploma on the wall. That's all they got. It's knowledge. See, we can accumulate knowledge. That's not what we're doing. I'm not in an accumulation of knowledge. I need knowledge because I want to do something. I need to attain to something. I need to get a hold of it. There's something that must be fulfilled.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So, he tells them, he said, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. In other words, God's not going to drag you to salvation. He's going to offer it to you, but He ain't dragging you there. And so we need to understand whatever it is, He's not going to, whatever it is out of the life of God that's revealed in the Word that He has for mankind, it doesn't come to us, just fall on us. Getting saved is wonderful. You'll make it to heaven, but you may make it to heaven with hardly any blessing of God in this earth while you're down here. Most of what you get is because of natural things and just because you get to live in America and get a lot of stuff free. And call it the blessing of God. But it ain't blessing of God at all. It's man's blessing. Many people don't know how to get a hold of God's blessing. We're going to look at that today. Getting a hold of God's blessing. He went on to say to them, verse 13, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? In other words, you have to understand this parable to get any of the parables that he said. You have to understand. So I know this. All parables are about faith. They're all about faith. Every one of them. Why? Jesus was a preacher of faith. You know, people say, oh, these faith preachers. I don't know that there should be any other kind. There should be nothing but faith preachers. It's all we are. If I can't please God without it, we know this. The ministers are always trying to get people to please God, and they don't teach faith. They just teach good works, trying to be nice, trying to be good. Faith will make you an overcomer. You'll overcome the junk in the world. You'll learn how to walk with God.
Amen.
You'll find God so good, you'll chase after Him. He don't have to chase you.
Amen.
You chase Him. Faith will lead you to that. He said, now, the sower sows the word. Understand it. He starts, this is what he's talking. The sower, what he's talking about, words being sown. These are words are sown here by a person speaking. The sower sows the word. In other words, this is about sowing words. These are about words being sown. This is faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Why does it tells us Romans 8? Why does he send preachers? Because faith comes hearing, and hearing by the word. People preach. Seeds of the word are sown by speaking, not by believing. When I hear words come to me, I can believe them. But that, I'm not a sower. I can sow it. But I'm not a sower because I hear. I'm not a sower because I believe it's true. You need to get a hold of this. Because a lot of faith stuff isn't taught properly. It's not taught properly. Hearing and believing is not producing and sowing seeds to produce something. Believing can produce, might produce nothing. It might not produce a thing. We're taught that believing somehow is the most incredible thing. Believing, what you believe is not sown, it produces nothing. A person can get the message of salvation and believe it's true. I have personally met people who believed that the gospel was true, but they didn't want it. They said they didn't want it. They liked the life that they had. Why? Did believing save them? No, because they never planted any seeds. How did you get saved? Words that you speak. You plant seeds. You plant seeds. See, people aren't planting seeds. Lots of Christians, I'm going to tell you, if they have a field, they got a little corner. If they had an acre, they got a little corner spot they got a garden in, and that's it. That's their faith. That's their faith. They could plant the whole thing, but they're not. They're only planting that little corner. That's all they got planted out there. That's the only place anything's growing, and what's growing there ain't producing the stuff they want to eat, you know? I mean, they like certain things in a natural garden, but if you don't plant it, it ain't coming up. And if you haven't planted it, have you reaped it? We're going to talk about that today. Because you spoke don't mean it's coming to pass. You got to reap it. And how do you reap it? How do you do it? Now, we're planting seeds. Because we want to get this. The Lord has really dealt with me. He wants us to overcome. He wants us to bear fruit. And too many Christians are not bearing fruit.
Preach.
They're not bearing fruit. They don't know how. They think being nice out here is bearing fruit. That's a little bit of what fruit. You know, you want to be a good person in that stuff. But I'm going to tell you, we're called to the miraculous. We're to bring things to pass. You know, we're to bring divine healing to pass. And we're not. We're to bring different things. We're not bringing it to pass. And the reason we're not is because of the way we think about sowing and reaping and our thoughts on it. Now, we go back here. Now, listen, the sower sows the word. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, Jesus is talking about the words that he sows. He's talking about the words of the kingdom. You need to understand this. Words, good or bad, are designed for one thing, for the human spirit. That's what they're designed for. They're not designed for your head to produce. This is why we have so much evil in America going on, because most of the people are operating out of their mentalities, out of their flesh. That's the devil's field. That's where the devil gets you to work out of your mind what you think's best. That's your greatest problem, what you think.
Amen.
I know.
Amen.
I planted a lot with that thing. What I thought. I planted a lot of that, but it was out there. But see, we need to understand, this is talking about words, and these words are what? They're sown to get in your heart. What the devil wants to do, just because you got something in your heart and you heard a truth, don't mean it's going to stay there. You've got to protect that thing. I sort of liken it unto this. They, you know, these people, this is stone by the wayside. In other words, they didn't get that thing underground. It's easy for that thing to be taken by something. You know, birds come and eat it up. Things. It is very easy for it to be gone. And it's very easy for the devil. People go to a meeting and hear a good message. I've had this happen time and time. Boy, your message really spoke to me today. And that stuff. I've talked to people already that have gone here to our church and asked them, did you ever listen to that again? Well, no, I didn't. You know what? It got stolen. It don't matter how God talks and He spoke to you. If you're so busy that you can't, you know, take the time to stop and listen to it again and listen to it again. God spoke to me in something. I listen to it and listen to it. See, people say, I want God to talk to me. Well, not if you don't want to take time to listen. Don't even bother wanting God to talk to you. It's going to take time. You got to take care of that thing in your heart, just like a farmer does. You know, look at the work that they go out here in the fields to do here in the springtime to get stuff out here and get planted. You know, they're out there working. They aren't thinking, man, I got, you know, out there, they got hay they cut out in the field. It's going to rain tomorrow. We got to get that off the field. They don't care if it's 10 o'clock at night and I have to get up in the morning and milk. I got to get to bed. Don't you know I got to go work?
Amen. That's right.
Don't you know I need my 8 hours because I'm a wimp? Because, you know, there ain't no spirit in me that raised Jesus from the dead. He can't quicken my mortal flesh because I dominated my flesh. I'm dominated by it. How many times you see that? Farmers out there late at night running in the fields, you know? I mean, these guys that spread that liquid stuff out there, I mean, they're out there late at night running that thing. So you getting up in the morning for fresh air. They, I got to get to bed. I need, you know, leave my sleepy. Now, when the work got to be done,
That's right. This
is one that, let me say this, it's not criticism. That's why many people don't get healed and people can't get divine healing, because it's going to require something higher of you and more of you to have it. You understand that?
Yeah.
It just does. It just requires more. It requires more work.
Amen.
I mean, that's, you know, it's no weird thing. These ones that are by the wayside, it says, they hear the devil comes in. It says, these likewise are the ones on the stony ground who, when they hear the word, it says, immediately receive it with gladness. Wasn't that a great message? But they have no root in themselves, so they endure for a time. Afterwards, what? Tribulation or persecution arise for the word's sake. Immediately they stumble. Now you need to understand this. This is all people who the word got into their heart. They'll never stand before Jesus and say, I didn't hear. I didn't know about that. See, God doesn't determine your heart. You do. What kind of, are you eager and hungry? Do you have an eager and hungry heart for God?
Amen.
You determine that. God don't. You got born again. You got a good heart. What are you turning it into? What are you turning that into? You know what? You can fill your heart, born again heart, with stones. And rock, stuff that's not important, stuff that means the meaningless things of life. You could fill it with it. You could do that. Put those things in there. See, we're talking about the new birth. See, our heart. This is something we need to take care of. We need to guard this. We need to understand this. So he goes. He says, these ones are stony. He said, immediately they receive of the gladness, when they have no root in themselves. They only endure for a time. So when tribulation, trouble comes, oh man, you know, well, I thought I'm believing God's word. Why does this happen to me? Why does it? There you go. Here's the stony folks. Oh, you tell them they're the stony folks and they'll cuss you. So you just don't love people. Now, don't tell me the truth. I don't want to hear it. Stony ground. Why did this happen to me? Because you're a human in the earth and the devil's after you. Get over it.
Amen.
This is just the way. I found this out. People who overcome usually have more trouble with the devil than the people that don't.
Amen.
Because the devil don't need to give them a hard time. Just give them a little bit and they'll whine. Oh, this is really good. Well, then he goes on. He says, now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They're the ones who hear the word. These hear the word. This word got in their heart. But he goes on. He said, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. There's things that enter in. In other words, really, we're dealing with things that people love more than the thing of God. That's what these things are.
Amen.
Worry is a sign of not walking in love. You don't know how God loves you. You'd never worry if you really thought God loved you.
Amen.
You never worry.
Amen.
See, we're dealing with it. The love of other things. What happened? Loves of things get in. Riches. Things become more important. We need to know the deceitfulness of riches. We're taught, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. You want to mess up your heart? Get over in that place.
Amen.
Get over in that place. The devil will carry you where you would have never thought you'd ever gone. And you're going to swear the whole time you love Jesus a lot. You're going to swear that. See, those things enter. What happened? The word got into them. See, we aren't talking about people who didn't have the word in. I will guarantee you that class of people, when they run into trouble, they'll make some confessions about the word. It isn't going to produce. Why? There's more thorn than there is word in them. You need to understand, it's just like a farmer. The farmers out here, if they don't get rain, no matter how good the seed is, it doesn't matter. It ain't coming up. And if it starts to come up, and then it don't get rain, what's going to happen to it? Is it going to bear any fruit? Nah, ain't going to happen. See, we need to understand, it's not enough for you to get the word in you. You've got to maintain that word. You've got to cultivate that in you. You need to understand that. It's not something once and done. Never is. You didn't sit in one meeting and heard something about faith and healing and you got the healing. Man, I've been after this thing for years.
Amen.
You've got to keep it cultivated in you.
Amen.
It's like when I found out Kenneth Hagin said, I read healing scriptures every day. I thought, well, that ought to do something. Do you? I'll guarantee you. Don't be surprised you don't get divine healing. You ain't going to get it. You got to cultivate that seed. Till that seed produces fruit. Till that seed can produce fruit. It has to go till it produces fruit. It is not going to work till it is able to do that. Now, we're going to deal with it because we find out about it here. It says, and so is it. They become unfruitful. But he said, those are the ones, he said, sown on the good ground. In other words, these are people with a good heart. How many times we hear people say, oh, this guy really got a good heart? I've heard him say that about people running. I think, you sure don't know them. I'm going to tell you what. God don't consider we have a good heart if we can't produce the things of His kingdom. A good heart is able to produce the things of His kingdom. That's a good heart. He said, the good heart produces fruit. And this is what I'm doing today. I'm going to tell you how to produce the fruit. I'm going to tell you how to do that. To produce fruit. And you can judge, you need to learn to judge yourself. Number one, you've got to become to know yourself spiritually and not naturally. You've got to spend more time understanding, looking at your heart in a mirror, the mirror of the Word, than you do looking in the mirror, getting yourself ready for work or whatever else you're going to do. You've got to spend more time in that. You've got to know yourself spiritually whether or not you can actually produce the fruit of what you want.
Amen.
This is why people are trying to produce. They are trying to get something to manifest they can produce no fruit of.
Amen.
You need to understand this. We need to get there. We're going to talk about it. What the Scripture says. So he talks about the people, they have a good heart. He said, those who hear the word, they accept it. They accept something. They accept the fact that they're going to have to do something about this. They accept the fact, just like the farmer. If you're going to go into farmer, there's certain, but to be a farmer, you're going to have to accept some facts about what it takes to farm. You're going to have to accept some stuff about what it does to produce stuff in natural soil. You're going to have to accept facts about that. This is where it comes out. You're going to have to accept facts about the Word of God to have it produced. It's a seed. How do I take care of that seed? The Word. The Word is a seed. How do I get that seed from planted in my heart to the place it produces what I want? How do I do that? Most people have a wrong idea about it. They have an unscriptural idea about it. Most people think the fruit, when the fruit's there, it's in manifestation. No, it's not. It's not in manifestation. In the realm, spirit realm, it is. In the spirit realm, it is manifested and ready. We're going to look at, because Jesus went on. When Jesus gave this parable, he didn't stop talking. No, we just did. If we had read the rest of it, we'd learn some other things. Because he goes on talking from here, and we want to look at what he says from here, because it brings up, he speaks some more parables that tell us how it works. Tell us how it works. And this is what I want you. This is what God wants you to get today. See, we're dealing with words. Now, if we went from a natural standpoint, I want you to understand this. If we had, say, a man and a woman, and they want to produce a child. Well, the woman is the ground. In other words, her womb is like a ground to the seed. In other words, the seed for a woman's womb is the seed of the man. Is his sperm. That's it. So that's what requires to produce a child. Now, if you have like a farmer out here, natural seeds from things have to be planted in soil, the ground. That's how they produce. The kingdom of God, words are seed, and those words can only be, just like that seed planted in the ground, that's how you want to get something natural to grow out of the ground. It's the same way you have to get that seed into your spirit. That's what you have to do. You have to get it in your spirit. It will not just naturally grow, just like nothing else just doesn't naturally grow. They have to do things. It needs water. It needs whatever else to take care of. Just like a woman gets pregnant. Does she go out and start playing, tackle football? You know what I mean? She goes, there's things you do to care for that thing to protect that seed. So that seed can grow up. It's the Word of God is the same way. The Word's a seed, and there's only place it'll grow up is not in your head.
Amen.
The only place it can grow up is in your spirit. That's the only place it can grow up. There's no other place for it to grow. That's it. It's designed for that. Now, those seeds, like I said, good or bad, man, are some people highly developed in producing bad stuff. They're highly developed in it. I've met people that are very highly developed in bringing trouble to their lives. And you can't get them to be quiet. They'll just, well, I'm just going to say it like it is. And they sure don't know like it is. And they're their own big trouble. Why? They're their planter. Number one, you need to understand this. No matter how much I preach, you're planting hundreds of times more than I am to your spirit. Because you're around you every day talking and you talk to people. What do you say? What are the words that you're speaking? What are they? Don't worry. Your heart hears things.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, we need to understand this. See, we're planting seeds. We don't see ourselves that. Words are seeds. Am I guarding what's in me?
Amen.
See, I have to learn to guard what's in me. Like most people, you get average, person. We believe in healing and that stuff, but when they go to the doctor, they'll tell everybody what they're just running around like everybody got to know what the doctor said.
Yep.
Like everybody just got to know. Mm-hmm. I got this problem. Don't you understand this? And I got this. Well, I'm trusting the Lord. I'm trusting the Lord, but they haven't said one word that the Lord said. They have never said one. But they can repeat the doctor. My God, they can. They can tell you word for word, and they can even put all the punctuation and everything in. They got it. They can even use the inflections that he used when he spoke. But we need to understand this ground, protecting this ground, number one, your ground, and you have to protect that seed. You want to take care of it. Paul talked concerning... himself and about planting, about watering. He said, he planted and what's his name? Watered, Yeah, Apollos watered. In other words, water that. Do you water your seed? Do you regularly water it? Or you just wait for the next sermon that somebody preaches on healing and yet you...
Preach.
That's what most people do.
Preach.
You know, it gets watered maybe once or twice every 2 years. It ain't going to grow. It ain't going to grow. That's just the way it is. It ain't going to grow. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to grow. It doesn't work that way. Especially if there's things that you definitely need to be changed, then that needs to become your emphasis. You know, it's like a farmer, he needs corn. He ain't out planting barley this year. He really needs corn? What? He really need corn. Well, then that's one. And he really needs that corn? Boy, he's going to want to take care of that crop. He wants to get that crop because he really needs that.
Amen.
He ain't out there planting. Well, I want to plant this year what I don't need, and I'm going to, you know, we're just, no, what I really need. You got to find, sign. What do you really need to change? Find out what God said about it. Get over it. Get it in you till you can start to produce something.
Amen.
Now, I want you to read it. We're going to go on in this thing in verse 21. Now listen to this. In verse 21 is Jesus. He said, also he said to them, is a lamp bought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on the lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. In other words, God's giving revelation. Things are going out. Nothing's being held back by God. It's our ears.
Amen.
It's not God. It's our. You know, I've had things along where I found out that God, for sometimes, I realized over a year he had been trying to get something across to me. But I thought, I just didn't pay attention to that. I didn't pay attention to it. I didn't have my ear toward that. Because I was looking more at what I thought. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have my ear toward it. And the answer was out there the whole time. He's over there. Why? There's nothing. If you don't know things, whether you know it or not, a lot of it's your own fault.
Amen. Amen.
Now, this is not criticism. It's life. You know, if you want to, any subject you want to learn about today, my God, you can get things to learn about any subject you want. So if you don't know nothing about it, whose fault is it that you don't know? My God, you get enough online free about it. Other people come to me and say, you tell me about such and such. I say, you go along and find that. But I don't like to go there. I don't like to do that. I say, well, it ain't important to you. Get out of here, lazy thing. I ain't doing your work for you. If you'll do all the work and give it to me, I know this. They ain't going to do nothing with it when they get it. They're lazy. Go get it. See, well, I don't know how. Well, you know what? I don't nobody teach me how. I went, the first computer I bought, you know one thing it is? I ain't scared. People say, well, if I do this or that, what if I mess things up? Well, what I did is learn how to fix things you mess up. And if you don't learn how to fix them, you know, I thought, you know, well, I don't know. What if I do this and that's wrong and this and that? I'd try things out. Why? If you want to be a learner, that's what you do. If you just want to be a person who knows all the answers going into you, you'll just be annoying in life. Nobody ever learned nothing new but trying to do the same old thing. And I'm never going any further than what I did. I'm not going to. What if that don't work? Well, I've already done thousands of things in my life that didn't work. One more don't matter. Like Thomas Edison, what was it, 20,000 experiments or something he did till he found a filament that worked? The average Christian wouldn't do five. It didn't work the first time, must not work. I'll tell you, I just... You know, why did he invent so many things? Because he wanted to learn new stuff. You know why you're not an inventor? You don't want to learn new stuff. It's it. I mean, I've learned a lot of new things, and I have little inventions I made. I figured out how to do things and make things work. You know, maybe nobody else does it that way, but it's my invention for me. But I learn it by trying something out. Hey, you know, you got to learn. Sometimes learn things. That's why I like to get around some people, you know, done things for a long time. They have things that they learned that just ain't out there in the books. And they can tell you how to do things. And I says, you know, it's like Mike in mechanics. You know, Mike does that. There's a lot of things he knows because of the years he spent doing it. You know, he could probably write a book on some of those things that he knows that, you know, that you don't know. You go around to somebody else. Why? Over time, he found out doing things. You know, I know Mike telling me about, you know, sometimes they had certain ways you did certain things that they were taught about doing certain things on engines. He worked in Volkswagens and how they do it. But he found out ways to do them that were a whole lot simpler, didn't take the time that they had in doing stuff. How did he get there? He didn't say, I just love dragging through this every time I do it and complaining about it. I found a better way. Well, we're having hearing that stuff. In other words, God's trying to reveal stuff. It says, then he said, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you again. And to you who hear, more will be given. In other words, what you hear, how do you measure? Was it important to you? If you didn't ever go back to it and do it and going over it, it wasn't important to you. You might say it was, but it wasn't. What's important to you? I tell you, the things of Scripture are important to me, and I go back over them and over them and over them. As number one, my health is usually important to me.
Amen.
That's important to me. And so what? I've spent a lot of time. I've probably spent more time on the areas of healing and things than probably most people did in the Bible itself. Why? Because it's important to me. It's important. I got an ear for that. That's important because the Lord told me this. He said, I want my people to get saved and filled with the Spirit. But he said, major thing, he said, I want my people well. He told me that after I was born again less than a year. I want my people well. Well, he was important to him, so I decided it's going to put that on the top of the list. That's on the top. And I've said this many times. Most people don't take as important. I guess they think I didn't hear from God. I don't know because it ain't important to them. But see, God put it on the top of the list, so I thought that's on the top of Ed's list. He didn't put money on the top of the list. You know, most money preachers need to understand this. More people need healed than they do need money. If they got healed, they'd have a lot more money. They would. They got healed, they'd get a lot more money. We got to get over on this thing of what's what. I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest things you ever do toward prosperity is getting your body in line with the Word of God so you can be blessed and enjoy health and you can come and go. That's what you want to do. Take man's body that's unhealthy. Tell them what they'd like to have. Well, I'd like to have a lot of money so I can sit home with money in the bank. You know, so I can really get on my walker. Maybe I could walk a little faster. I don't know. It's like, come on. People want to be well. Well, so the way we measure it, it's going to come back to us. Verse 25, he says, for whoever has to him, more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him.
Amen.
And here's a principle. This is a principle you need to, if you get something and you don't ever do nothing with it, it'll be gone.
Amen.
You know, it's like that thing you buy that you never use and one day get it out and it don't work. Because it doesn't set too long. Do you ever have things like that? You see, these principles work in life. This is out there. But in the spirit realm, it's exactly what you don't ever work. This is why things don't work. This is what happens. People go along. You know, when you're younger in life, you know, you probably don't get as tight. Your body don't slow down as much. You know, to me, life it's more precious to be well because it's easy. You know, as you get older, you don't want to let things get out of hand. You don't want to do that. You don't want to let that happen. Because I look around and the people my age, too many have let too much happen. They've let too much go too far.
Amen.
And so I look at that. I don't want to let things go out there too far. But you need to get to this fact. Those things that you, like say, I see people do this all the time. They're not really into the healing thing until they get sick. Then they go and they pull it off the shelf and it don't work. Why? Because there's no fruit produced. I'm going to talk about this, what Jesus said in this next one. Get this. We'll explain to you about this. Verse 26. He said, and he said to them, the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Now, in other words, so let's talk about what did he say the seed was in the kingdom? It's words. those words. The ground, what? The heart. See, he's talking about faith in the heart. He's talking again. This is faith. This is how faith works. Faith is getting words in your heart. Now, he said, goes on and says, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields the crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in his sickle because the harvest has come. Listen to this. This is how to harvest. Number one, everybody wants a harvest, but they put the sickle in sometimes when they ain't even got a blade. They're putting the sickle in, they ain't even got, the head ain't even come up. Nothing's right. You got to know, let me say this to you. These seeds you put in your heart, it's that seed is going to grow up. You got to know when it's time for you to call it to you. You're the one that harvests. Your mouth is what harvests. Harvest ain't when it shows up. It won't show up till you put the sickle in. You put the sickle in when you say are ready now. And this is what people don't. People are making confessions and they ain't even got a blade. They're making confessions. They ain't got, it ain't grown up. There's no head on the thing. And that head hasn't ripened. You got to know when you're ready to call it in. And how do you call it in? It doesn't become yours when it shows up. It's yours when you believe you receive it. You need to understand this. Do you know when you're ready to release your faith or you're not ready? You can hurt yourself a lot releasing when you ain't ready for it and believing you got something and there ain't nothing there. Amen. Nothing's there. You need to understand how this thing works. Do you know? See, I learned this from Kenneth Hagin, and it's another thing, great wisdom. He said, like with him, something with healing, and even for his family when her kids were little and all that stuff, he would not just up and immediately turn around and pray for them or make some confession. He wouldn't do that. He said he would take a few days and he would go over the scriptures and he would go over until he was ready. He knew he had it, that there was fruit there that he could bring into existence. You can't bring into existence fruit that ain't there. If it isn't grown up in the head and it isn't right, it ain't there. You can't bring it in. You got to know that you're ready. Okay, I got this. I know in my heart, this belongs to me. It's mine and I got it. I'm ready now to say the word. See, this is why people, they walk around and for 10 years just confessing and confessing and confessing about it, confessing. It's all mental. They're running around confessing and confessing. The whole time there's no fruit in there. They're confessing, trying to bring it to existence. It comes to existence when I believe I receive it. Amen. Now it's mine. Now, it ain't till you know it's yours and you declare it's yours that it's going to show up. See, if I confessed healing today, I get healed when I believed I received it. It's mine, I'm healed. You say, well, you don't see it. This is what... Everybody wants something natural. We want to be able to look out and see it. Majority of people who get healed by the mercy of God and not by their faith. Amen. He's just kind to them on their low level that they're operating on. Mm-hmm. Amen. See, we need to come to the place where we know when something's ready in our heart to step into. Many times people ready to step into it, they won't. They say, well, I'm just believing God's going to heal me. They keep saying it. I'm sorry. You didn't receive it yet. You never put the sickle in. I don't care if there's fruit there. You didn't put the sickle in. You didn't harvest. Harvest is believing you receive it. Okay, that's when the sickle is in. I'm putting the sickle in. I'm ready. Hallelujah. Now I believe I receive it. It's mine. I got it. I just harvested.
Amen.
It belongs to me. And number one, once you believe that, you'll never think the same about it. If you really believe you got it and it's yours, you'll never be the same about it again.
Amen.
See, when you're still looking for it, I know you don't believe you got it yet. You don't believe you have it? No, I got it. It belongs to me. I put the sickle in.
Amen.
See, this is why you want to keep healing fruit running in you all the time.
Amen.
See, that's what Brother Hagin would do. I learned that from him. You keep it fruit. No, I'm just going to plant the seed when I need it. Well, you might wait a long time. And when you need it, it might not come. I've been around people like that. When they needed it, it was too late. It was too late. There was no time for it to grow it up. They didn't have time.
Amen.
I've had the Lord tell me numbers of times that people, they're not going to be healed. They've waited too long. They've waited too long. It's not going to happen. Waited too long. See, you keep things running in you. That's why you keep the Word in you.
Amen.
All the time. You keep the Word in you. You keep it in you. You keep going back to the Word on things. You keep getting, you know, you get a seed in you, get back there, water that thing. Just keep on doing that. But you get to the point. People today don't realize, they think the fruit is when it shows up. That ain't what that's talking about. It's talking about what's going on in a person's spirit. This is what the spirit, your inner man has developed fruit, is ready to be harvested. That's your inner man. How do I get from my inner man to show up on the outside? By believing I receive it, confess it. That's mine, I got it now. It belongs to me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God, it's mine. I have it. I just stuck the sickle in. I got it.
Amen.
This is how you do it. See, I've been doing this since I've been, you know, a spiritually standpoint, I was knee-high to a grasshopper. I got this principle. I listened to Kenneth Hagin talk about it. This is how you get a hold of it. You declare it's yours. I have it. I'm not waiting for it. I believe I receive it. I have it. And that's what you do. See, most people have never been trained to put the sickle in. They think because they believe it and said they're healed, but they've never put the sickle in and said, belongs to me. I got it. God gave it to me. When I put the sickle in, it is mine. And now what was in my spirit, the Word of God that He had already given to me, has been put into my spirit. And now the fruit's there. Now it's my job. It's not God's job to bring it to pass. I got to harvest it. He can't bring it to pass till I harvest it. This is why I watch people die making confessions. They never reaped. You got to believe you receive. That's putting the sickle in. Now it's mine and I got it. See, you have it. It belongs to you. Understand this. All the things about the things you desire, want, or need. Those things. Get in the Word till you see. Do you get yourself over that God really wants me to have this? That God wants... Get yourself in the Word. Do you see that? And you let that grow up and get so much one day, okay, now we're letting this thing go. Hallelujah. Now, this is harvest day. I'll tell you, don't put the sickle in too early. That's what too many people do. They're not ready to put it in. You know, but because of their flesh not being able to be patient, they kill it. It's like a farmer. He don't go out there when out there stalks growing up out there and there ain't no ears on it. And he runs the, he gets that combine out there and runs that corn picker through that field. And all he got, no corn. Too early. No, know when it's ready. See, these things are put in there. You must be. How would a farmer know? See, there's things you have to know. It don't just happen. Christianity is preached sort of haphazardly. I'm sorry. There's a system that this thing runs. God's organized.
Amen.
And there's a system, just like with a farmer, there's a system. And everything else, there's a system. There's a system that follows. And I'm going to tell you what, if you do it, it'll work. You know, people turn around and say, well, you know, just give your, plant your money as your seed. Actually, your money's never your seed. Your mouth is your seed, always. This is why people don't get financially ahead. They've never declared nothing. There's one thing, you're going to have to declare how much you can say 30, 60, 100 fold all you want. You can't get no more back than you can confess with your mouth. And if you got more, that was God's grace. Woo! Glory to God. That was exceedingly above what I imagined or thought. Hallelujah! I like those. But you know, you want to give it to God. People put them out, I'm believing God's going to bless me financially. Yeah, He sent me $2. Oh man, I'll tell you what, I will need a $10,000, but He sent me money. Hey, that's money. Faith is not some hit and miss thing. What do you want? You believe in God for a car? Sit down and decide what you want. Well, I'm believing God for a car. Well, I guarantee you, the devil will send you a piece of junk. And you think, well, I guess it's what God wants me to have. No, what can you believe you receive? Now, don't try to receive a Mercedes and you got, you know, Nash Rambler faith.
Amen, that's right.
It's just what you can believe for. I'm going to tell you what, I started off a nice rambler of faith. I mean, that's where I was at. I mean, you just believe for it. I'm just trying to get something. But you know what? I don't know why. I knew from the time I was good what I could believe for and what I couldn't. I don't believe he's believing. I've had people think, well, I'm believing God for $1 million. I knew they ain't going to ever see $1 million. They're probably lucky if they ever see $2. I don't know why, but I got it right away that, well, how far can I believe? Where could I go? Where am I right this place where I know I can take a hold of? Where am I at? And see, I grew from there. But understand, many people are trying to maintain. It's just like people, they don't really build the faith, and all of a sudden they get in life, and man, all of a sudden they need a lot. They can't get it. Because they never develop themselves. They never develop. They've always lived. People say, I live within my means. I don't. I live within God's means. My means are too small. I ain't living within my means. I'm living within my desires and wants. And needs. That's what I'm going to do. That's where we're going to live.
Amen.
Well, you can if you set your faith to something. If you set your faith to it. Most people live off their income. They're not believing for anything outside of it. And they don't realize. They may have a good life and have money, but they aren't operating faith, ain't pleasing God.
Amen.
Faith pleases Him. I'm stepping outside of my arena. I'm stepping outside of something greater than me. Hallelujah. Why? You'll praise God a lot. When that stuff works, then you're always praising
Amen.
God and thankful. My God, you don't have a hard time trying to get back into the Word again.
Amen.
You have a hard time getting the Word, it's because you ain't had no fruit.
Amen.
Woo! Good preaching. See, I get the fruit thing, and this fruit thing working, man, I'm going to tell you, I always go back for more fruit.
Amen.
We're going for more. And I want you to get that. This is not a hard thing, a system. It works like everything else in life. You didn't wake up this morning and think, you know, they ought to give me a shingle being a brain surgeon, you know, just because I got up and wanted to be. You know, you, all of us would think, well, do I want to go that much to school? Would I want to do what it takes to do that? Would I want to? It takes something to step into these areas. How far do you want to go? It's like when the Lord told me, I asked Him, well, how far can you go with this stuff? He said, it's not up to me. This is up to you. How far do you want to go? And I'm just saying to you, how far do you want to go? God never set a limit on you. You did. You have limits. I found out I had limits set on me. I had to learn certain things of Scripture to take ceilings off my life.
Amen.
You set ceilings on you. You know, most people, and I'll just tell you, most people think this, and the average Christian, spirit-filled, think somehow that a minister somehow gets some higher level. That's a ceiling on your life. That's a ceiling on your life. I have to do what everybody else does. There's nothing different to grow. I have to do it. I know this. There's a lot of ministers out here that ain't been growing. You don't get there. Number one, I found this out. The gift that I had to develop it. I don't care how God's gifted you. Until you work it, it ain't ever going to amount to nothing. I don't care. I don't care if God called you to be the next Billy Graham. You may never become anything. You have to develop it. I learned over time. I had to develop the gift in me. I found out the more I developed in the areas of the gift in me, that gift, man, wow, what it can do. What it can reveal to me and bring to me. But see, that's what you find, the gift. See, everything we need from our side. See, when God's in control, when you believe that, you're out of control. God's in control as far as I let Him. God's in control as far as I allow Him to. Hallelujah. See, there's many people got to remove ceilings off their life. And you do that by going back to the Word and back to the Word till all of a sudden you see it's like, man, I'm limited on this. See, when God talked to me about financial, He said, I'm going to show you a way concerning finances. It wasn't a way I was ever taught. But I could see it in the Word. But I didn't know it. He showed me. He said, there's a higher way to go. Well, you don't know. You have to go to something higher. What I didn't realize, there was a ceiling. There's a ceiling in my thinking that kept me from going beyond a certain point. The Lord said to me, he said, when you need money, you know how to get it. You believe it, bring it in. He said, that's not my best. All the time on Sunday, I was always preaching to me. That was really doing good. Nobody ever told me that wasn't the best. Nobody ever told me that. I said, I was glad to find it out. When I found it out. See, because, you know, I hear preachers say, well, maybe God doesn't want everybody to be a millionaire. I hear them say that. Well, they're wrong. I don't care who said it and whoever he thinks he is. It's not what Scripture teaches. The Lord said to me, I said, how far can you go with this? He said, that isn't up to me, it's up to you. How far can you believe? How far can you go in your faith? How far? I found out I was determining that. I didn't realize to step into an area, you know, we had the things. I always thought you had to need something or have something, then you could believe for it. I didn't realize I could set mine down the road. That I turn around, the Lord said, I want you to have money waiting for you, not when you get there, then start believing. I want you to have it waiting for you. I want you to start believing for large amounts of money. Well, I didn't need large amounts of money. But he said, I want you to do that. Why? See, what I was taught, this wonderful faith life was the area you get over here, and then just when you need it, then you're believing for it. Well, that wasn't. I understand why it's taught up to that way. Because it's teaching people how to believe for things as they go along. Because most people ain't ready to believe for way down the road. They're just trying to get by day by day. They're just trying to get by right now. See, and there's another thing. You're going to have different things thinking about money and giving. You're going to have to change the way you think about money and giving. You're going to have to come to the place where it's not a nice little scripture, it's more blessed to give than receive. You're going to have to come to the point that, man, that's true. I want to give because I want it is more. I tell you what, I'm sold. It's more blessed to give than receive. I'm sold on it. It's more blessed to give than receive. See, there's things you have to arrive to get to there because if you don't arrive there, you're going to have limits on yourself about what you can believe for and how far you can go and things. There are limits. Not knocking. I realize I was taught to a point, but here's one thing. I don't knock on any preachers. We need to go the Word. God wants to reveal stuff and bring things to us, and He wants to teach us. And we keep waiting for somebody to come and teach us. When are you going to sit down and listen to the Holy Ghost? You don't need the teacher in you if somebody else got to do all the teaching. You don't need one. You don't need the Holy Ghost. Most Christians ain't using the Holy Ghost in them. I want to tell you what. I don't know Christianity except through the Holy Ghost. If it wouldn't be for Him, I don't. If it wouldn't be for Him working in me, I'm going to tell you, the relationship that we have. I don't know Jesus but by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said when He leaves, He said, I'm going to send another Comforter. That word means one of the same kind. He's one of the same kind. If you don't know the Holy Ghost, you can't know Jesus. I know Jesus because the Holy Ghost in me. He's the same thing. And He lives inside of me, so I know Jesus. Because that's all the Holy Ghost does, reveal Jesus. That's all He does, reveal Jesus. That's His job. He don't speak of Himself. He's a revealer of Jesus. That's how I know Jesus. I know Jesus more than just words in a page. Amen. And it's by the wonderful Holy Spirit. It's by the wonderful Holy Spirit is how I know. I'm not just a book Christian. We're a life Christian. Thank God for the words in the book. But the words in the book have no life without the Holy Ghost. Get that within yourself. Let's make a decision. We're going to go to a higher level. Amen. That we're going to listen and teach it. I want you to get a hold of this, though. And the Spirit of the Lord really ministered me. We were on the beach one day, and I was going over and reading over these things here. And the Spirit was just, there's other things that the Spirit was talking to me about this. But the fact about the areas of reaping, He wanted me to bring that out the most. About the areas of reaping. You need to get this, folks, about reaping. People aren't reaping. Amen. It's what He spoke to me about. People are not reaping. They think reaping is waiting for it to come. And when I really believe it, then it's going to show up. And if I've confessed it enough and I've done, that's not reaping. Reaping is the day you come when you know, I'm speaking this, this thing belongs to me. I got it now. And we say it, we declare it's ours. You done reaped it. Now it's yours. It isn't yours. You're trying to get it. No, I have it. It's mine. Number one, God ain't going to give you healing. He already did it. God's not going to give you money. He's already provided all that blessing. All we got to do is find the system out, how it works, and then apply the system, and then reap it ourselves. Call it in. With money. Brother Hagin, when the Lord told him about it, he said, you declare the amount of money that you want, the amount that you want, need or desire, whatever you need. Now, it has to be within the limit so you can believe. Don't try to reap what you can't. Set yourself in what you can reap. Set yourself there to where you can reap. He said to do that. You declare what it is you want. Now you got to be able to produce that in your heart. You got to know. In other words, you got to know what the word. You got to be confident about that. I can do this. Many people are too gun shy to declare things. Their hearts believe in it, but they listen too much to their minds. They're too much. Today's Christians are what I call mental Christians. They don't operate, even their hearts know more than what their head does, but they only don't ever listen to their heart. They just listen to their heads. And their heart wants to produce some stuff. In them are things that want, that the Spirit, their spirit, not the Holy Spirit, their own spirit wants to bring to pass. It's already in them. And it wants to bring it to pass. But they're afraid they won't declare it. You know, people won't stand up and say, I ain't getting the flu. Well, I won't make a public display. Why? Because they're afraid they'll get the flu. What if I get the flu? See, you let your mind get on it. Mm-hmm. You set yourself up.
Amen.
You set yourself up. Amen. You know, people won't think you're crazy. You know, a few years back, and the doctor, you know, told me, your age, you ought to get the flu shot. I said, I ain't had the flu since 1980. We ain't starting now.
Amen.
Well, she didn't like that. Because she wanted the flu.
Amen.
And she got it. She did get it. Praise. Hey, thank God. Her heart's working.
That's right.
Her heart and mouth's working. I said, why would I get one? Why would we start now? Well, you never know. I said, yeah, but I do.
That's right.
But I do.
Hallelujah.
I know.
Amen.
See, why do you... I'm not saying that because Ed's some big deal. I know what's in me from the Word. The Word produced that.
Yes.
It's God's Word that produced that. That ain't produced by man.
That's right.
If it was produced by man, doctors would be getting everybody healed.
Amen.
It's produced by the Word. I'm just declaring. My spirit said, I don't want to be sick. Yeah, but what do people make fun of? See, tribulation, huh? Persecution. See, I could have got persecuted there. I became the persecutor.
Amen.
I backed the devil up in her into a corner. See, no, I'm not going there. I told her, I'm sure you need the shot. I am sure. You better get it. Well, yeah. Well, it does. That'd be smart for her to get it, wouldn't it? I mean, I'm not being... She needs the shot. She needs to get whatever protection she can get.
Amen.
I'm already inoculated.
Amen.
I'm afraid if I get a shot, it might kill me. My God, you know, overdose. But you got to get thinking right about this stuff and get yourself over there. But I want you to get in this thing as knowing. Get to know inside of you. Take the time to listen to your inner man. Take the time. You know, take a time away to get, you know, one of the things is, you know, we went down the beach. We didn't do nothing. We didn't do anything. And so, you know, what happens when you quit doing things, you get quiet. It is a good thing. See, and when I was out on the beach here and I was sitting there meditating on those things, you know, it's just real. I'm not struggling to hear my spirit because, see, I'm not tied into all kinds of other things. So you're sitting there nice and quiet, relaxed. You ain't doing anything. You need to do that. You need to stop sometimes. Get away. You know, take a vacation sometime. You don't do anything.
Yep.
The average person comes back from a vacation is 10 miles further away from God than they went. Because all they did was fill themselves with natural things the whole time and never got quiet. They come back and say, I've got to go back to work now. You know, there's all these things we want to do, but we don't know how to relax. There's one thing, as I found out, learning how to do that, your spirit gets, you get quiet and you can hear your spirit. You know, it's not easy to hear your spirit when you're real noisy and think you're like you're working on something, you're concentrated on other things. You can't. You got to get times you get quiet. And that's a huge help to get quiet. Say, okay, here we are. Be getting quiet. And you know something, you don't do that right away. See, I used to be, you know, Wanda had to get on me a lot about that. I'd go on vacation. It wouldn't be about the third day I'd start getting, you know, I'm still going to town. You know, I got this to do and that to do, and I just get my... Now I know how to. I can turn off right away. I don't care anymore. That's what it is. I don't care. I go on vacation. They say, "Well, what if something happens?" Well, let me know when we get back.
Amen.
Every minute say, "Well, what if somebody dies?" Well, they ain't coming to life just because I come back. You know, we teach people to know God and act like they can't know God when you go away if something happens. Faithless ministers and faithless people.
Amen.
Somebody's got to be there to minister to me. Hold it. You can't go through trouble. You ain't as good a Christian as you said you were.
Amen.
You ain't spiritual like you said.
Amen.
Yeah, when the minister, you know, their family member or something happens to it, how many people run and have to... You're supposed to run and jump, you know. They need ministered to. Why? Because it's a backslid. They can't go through things. It's good to minister to people, you know, not because they're just down in the dumps. You know, that you can go fortify what's in them. There ain't nothing better than that. That they have something in them, and you go and fortify that within them. You're not trying to dig them out of the ditch. They never went to the ditch. They were never in the ditch. It is so easy to do. See, don't get in the ditch. That's what the devil wants to get you in the ditch. He wants you to get in life and thinking about all the natural and all the things that are going on. And, you know, set aside. He wants to steal all the word, whatever you get word in you. That's what he's out to do. As I found out, thank God for the word in me when trouble comes.
Amen.
When I had a heart attack, thank God for the word that was in me. It would have been too late for Ed to get his Bible out, start studying. It would have been too late. What it would have been.
Amen.
But putting things in you. When something comes, you already have something.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Your gun's already loaded.
Amen.
That's right. You're out shooting for bear. You're going after it. You ain't. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. And remember that these things, everybody here is a Christian. You can go as far as you want. I mean, there's number. Sometimes, you know, people have, you know, mates and their mates ain't going nowhere. Well, you go somewhere. You stand. Don't let others hold. The best thing you can do. Now, let me say this. One of the things I didn't talk about, the Holy Spirit said, of being a light on a hill. Because you're a Christian, you're not a light on the hill at all. The light that you shed. Look, we could take a light bulb. We could take one of these bulbs up, a fluorescent bulb. That bulb, they say, well, it produces light. Well, it don't if it don't have power to it.
That's right.
Just because you're saved, what causes you to produce light? Your faith.
Amen.
Your fruit that you produce is your light to the world.
Amen.
If you're not producing fruit, you're not producing light. Most Christians are under a basket. They're not producing things with their faith. They're not producing stuff.
Amen.
A Christian isn't light just because he's sitting there. We're light because we give words and we speak words.
Amen.
We give words. You get stuff in us and we speak those words. And see, if we're not doing that, you got a basket.
Amen.
You're under a basket. You're not the light on the hill. The light on the hill is producing fruit.
Amen.
Putting words out that produce fruit. Words for the heart of man.
Amen.
God's words are specifically designed for your heart. That's what they're for. They're spirit and they're life. They're not for anything else. They ain't for your head. If you get enough on the inside, you can get delighted that your mind will finally figure some of it out and understand it. But it's all done on the inside.
Amen.
God works from the inside out, not the outside in.
Amen.
The best thing for your ears to be open is to your ears. Because if your ears are not open, your spirit can't hear.
Amen.
We're not talking about just natural ears. Many people naturally hear words and never does nothing for them. Do you have ears that your spirit can listen? Your spirit will hear words that they'll get in it. Just because you sat here this morning don't mean you heard a thing I said.
Amen.
That doesn't mean. Having ears to hear.
Amen.
And to be light on a hill. See, nobody ever told me except the Lord the fact of being light on a hill isn't just because you're a Christian. You're light. Amen. I'm going to let my light shine. And we think this little light of mine, I'm going to make it, let it shine. Oh, how do you do it? They never told them. They never taught us in Sunday school how you do it. They thought just because you were good, how you let it shine? I'm a nice person. Well, there's all kind of nice people in the Red Cross and are unsaved. Christians, we produce things that man cannot produce. We can manifest things that only God can do through men. The sinners can't produce what I do. The sinner can't produce it. See, we need to get this. This is our light shining.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's shine, folks. Hallelujah. Let's plant. Let stuff grow up and let's harvest my words. People are always going to say, this is a day's of harvest, and they think about just reaching sinners. I'm sorry, if the church isn't producing things out of them, there ain't going to be a lot of sinners reached either.
Amen.
The harvest. We're supposed to live a life of harvest. Coming in on every wave. A life of harvest.
Amen.
We should always have things we're harvesting, things that are coming in, things that are manifesting, things that are showing up. That's shining on the hill. Hallelujah. Let's shine on the hill. Glory to God. Father, I just want to thank you today for being so kind to teach us something. Hallelujah. Lord God, we didn't. Lord, these things don't come because we're just so smart. Hallelujah. Lord God, if I was smart, I'd have seen some of this stuff a long time ago. But hallelujah. Lord God, it's by your wonderful Holy Spirit. And I want to thank you. You have been so gracious to teach, so gracious to reveal to us. And you're not against us, you're for us. Hallelujah. Lord, your great desire is for your people, hallelujah, to harvest outrageously. Oh, Lord God, when I was going through these things, you would just look at, oh, Lord God, I know. Your heart gets grieved because your people aren't walking in all they can have. Amen. All that you've done. You want them to have it. You're not mad at them. You want them to have it. Hallelujah. Your great desire is for them to flourish greatly. That others can see, hallelujah, your wonderful goodness, mercy, and kindness to others. And I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for being so merciful to us. Father, there's so much you've done for us in spite of the smallness of our faith. And yet you've done so many great things. And you're just so merciful and good. You are incredible. And I am so thankful towards you. Hallelujah. Father, you're raising us up. You're raising this people up here. Lord God, Lord, you're not setting a bar for them to reach. You're calling them to set the bar wherever they want to go. You're calling them. You're saying, you're speaking to them today, Lord, saying, how far do you want to go? How much do you want? How far do you want to reach out with your heart? Hallelujah. And manifest the glory of God in the earth. How far do you want to go? Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord God. Oh, heaven's released so much to this earth. Heaven has released so much to this earth. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father God. Father, we're taking it in today in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God. We're going to treat your word with high respect. Lord God, we're going to accept it. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, we're going to let it grow up in us. And Lord God, oh, hallelujah. Father, I pray that we just raise up a generation of reapers. Hallelujah. A generation of people who put the sickle in. Hallelujah. Lord God, that your glory and light shines. Hallelujah. That people will say, surely I want what they have. Hallelujah. I want the light that they have. I want that glory. And Father, we just thank you for it. Father, as we leave this place, Father, I want to just say again, thank you for godly mutters. Thank you so much, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, Father. Father, I thank you that you're blessing them today. Lord God, that these mothers are going to be great reapers in this harvest time. Hallelujah. There's much of glory to be harvested and manifested into the earth. Hallelujah. And Father God, I thank you. They're going to take a hold of it. Hallelujah. They're going to be such a blessing to their families and others around them. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.